Chapter 23. If you turn your Bibles to Psalms, chapter 23, we'll go ahead and get started. People have not let me forget my mistake last year and the time I took. So, Lord willing, I'll be able to maybe give you a little bit of that back this year and obtain your forgiveness. But Psalms chapter 23, Rebecca and I have been blessed to be able to be a part of this church for me once again, and it's been a blessing, being able to intern, to learn, to grow. But we're also getting ready to start another season that we're excited about, but also very nervous about. Deputation is a scary time. It means that I'm going to be spending an awful lot of time on the phone, which I do not like to do. It means that as soon as we go to full-time deputation, the paycheck is going to stop, and we're going to be earning an awful lot less than we are now, which is scary, but while I was facing this time and getting ready for deputation and anticipating what's to come, the Lord led me to Psalm 23, and it's been a great comfort seeing this time period coming up and preparing for it. It's been a great comfort to me. And Psalm 23 in verse 1, we're just going to read one verse tonight. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." Now let's pray, and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, Lord, and for how you've already been working through the services tonight. Lord, I pray you'd bless this time. Just clear my mind. Help me to present your message, that it would be an encouragement to those in here, Lord, and that we'd be able to apply it in our lives in this upcoming year. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This is a rather bold statement. I had actually forgotten, but at one point, I remember when I first was able to learn this verse, first memorize this chapter, I was a lot younger, and the first verse didn't make much sense to me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I read it all together, and I thought, why would I not want the Lord as my shepherd? But obviously, as I grew up, I began to understand a little bit better, and what it's talking about here, David is saying that with the Lord as my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall never have need of anything. I shall not have lack, basically, is a different way of saying it. I'll never lack anything. With the Lord as my shepherd, I can trust in him in knowing that I will never lack anything that I need. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You say, well, that's kind of an easy statement for David to say. Wasn't he the king of Israel? Wasn't his son Solomon one of the richest and most well-known, wisest kings in ever? But that wasn't all of David's life. There were times in David's life where he was hiding in a cave, a fugitive, a hunted man. There were times in David's life when those that had stood with him were turning against him and plotting to kill him. David knew what it was to face difficult situations. David probably knew what it was to not know where his next meal was coming from. But David here can say, looking back on all of that in his life, he can say, the Lord is my shepherd, and I'll never need anything. I'll never lack anything that I need. So let's look at this verse, and I won't break down all of Psalm 23. The rest of the chapter is really David reinforcing this fact, that with the Lord as your shepherd, you too can say, I will never lack anything. With the Lord as your shepherd. But I just want to focus on this. First off, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord. Now, notice he doesn't use God. He doesn't use a different name. He uses the name Lord. If you think about it, oftentimes we use the different names of God, and we can kind of forget the meaning of them. But as Lord, that means that God's the one leading. That means God's the one that is directing you in your life. God's the one giving the commands. He's your Lord. He has to be Lord of your life in order to be able to shepherd you. Amen. In order to make this statement, the Lord has to be the Lord of your life. There in verse 3, and obviously with time I can't go through all the verses, but there in verse 3, part of that the reason we can depend on the Lord is He restoreth my soul. The Lord is in the business of restoring people, bringing them back to Him. The shepherd's responsibility, if a lamb were to leave the flock, the shepherd's responsibility was to restore that lamb. You know, the shepherd really wasn't to blame for any problems that that lamb would face whenever it left the flock. When the lamb left the flock, he wasn't following the shepherd. It wasn't the shepherd's fault if the lamb got hurt. But the shepherd took on himself personal responsibility to restore, to heal, to bring that lamb back to the flock. You and I, at one point in our lives, and maybe some in here still have gone astray from the Lord. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every man to his own way. But while we were these sheep that had left the Lord, He took it on Himself and sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to die on a cross to restore us to Him. And He's in the business of restoring people. But even after that, it continues on in verse 3, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He doesn't just restore you back to the flock. He leads you in the ways of righteousness. He's given us His Word, the Bible, to understand what He expects of us, what He desires for us to do. And it does say in verse 3 that He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You see, when you've been restored to the flock of God, the Lord being your shepherd, it should be known. You now represent as a Christian, as someone that's been saved, you represent Christ. You represent the Lord. People know that the Lord is your shepherd. So if you wander astray again, if you go back to the ways of this world, the other people that say, aren't you associated with the Lord? Doesn't He say that you're not supposed to be here? Doesn't He say you're not supposed to be listening to this kind of music? Doesn't He say you're not supposed to be living this way? You represent the Lord. He leads you in the ways of righteousness for His name's sake. We just came back from winter camp, and several times throughout winter camp, as we were getting ready to go to a restaurant to eat or going to a hockey game, we reminded the kids, the youth, you represent the Lord and your church. Well, we as Christians represent Christ. But there's also an added blessing to following the Lord in the paths of righteousness. Verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Again, I can't go into all the details of this verse, but even in the valley of the shadow of death, David can say that I will fear no evil. No matter what life hands you, if you're following the Lord, with the Lord as your shepherd, you can have absolutely no fear. No matter what you're facing, no matter what's going on in your lives. I shared a little bit of what's coming up for my family. Some of the fears that we can have. But knowing that the Lord is our shepherd, the fact that we will never have need of anything, we'll never lack anything that we need, we can have no fear facing what's coming up ahead of us. Verse 5, he says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I wanted to back up. I love how the Lord works in services like this. I noticed in Nehemiah, when Brother Scott was preaching, what Nehemiah had said to the people when he was faced with this difficult situation. Notice he said in Nehemiah 4:14, it says, Nehemiah tells the people, be not afraid of them, remember the Lord. Amen. Remember the shepherd that's over you, the shepherd that will fight for you, the shepherd that can defend you. You say, well, these are Bible times. David, Nehemiah. You find these are good stories in the Bible. What has God done? How has God worked in this way in modern times? In verse 5, he talks about preparing a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. This this verse, as I was thinking about it, brought back to memory a book I read while I was at Bible college. This book's titled Evidence Not Seen. And it's about a missionary, Darlene Rose, who was a missionary to New Guinea during World War II. And the Japanese came in and overtook the island and took her and her husband to separate war camps, basically. And she recounts the years she spent in the camps there under the control of the Japanese. During that time, she lost her husband. Her husband passed away. She was falsely accused of being an American spy. So she was taken from that camp to an interrogation camp where she lived in isolation, where the food that she was fed not only barely kept her alive, but also made her sick. By the time she left, she weighed 80 pounds. During this time in there, there were some situations, circumstances that happened, and she got a craving for a banana. Obviously, the type of food they've been feeding her wasn't sustaining her, but she had a craving for some bananas. And she asked the Lord, she went so far as to ask the Lord, if you could have them provide a banana, that just one. I don't want a whole bunch, just one. And even after praying and asking, she kind of thought it through, and how's the Lord going to get a banana in here? She's going to use the enemy, yeah, the soldiers that don't care about me, the interrogators that torment me. Now, how's he going to get a banana in here? Well, through some circumstances, the commander of her former camp she had been at came in and didn't. I don't know that he came there specifically to see her, but ran across her path. And not long after he left, there's an entire backstory. Get the book. It's a very, very good book. Evidence Not Seen. But she had been able to witness to her former commander. And don't know that she ever found out if he ever actually was saved. But after he left, the guard came back, opened the door, and handed her an entire bunch of bananas. In fact, almost 100 bananas. The Lord prepared a feast for her in the presence of her enemies. Exactly what she wanted. She was humbled immediately. She didn't even think the Lord could get her one. But the Lord was able to provide for her. And the Lord is able to provide for you in this upcoming year, 2016. We don't know exactly everything we're going to be facing. Brother Scott addressed it. It's an election year. Praise the Lord, we're a part of a country where we can vote and have a voice in who's our leader. But at the same time, we don't always know the results. And it can be kind of scary if you consider what the possible results, the possible things that could happen in 2016. But if you know the Lord is your shepherd and you're following him in the paths of righteousness, you'll never lack anything. And you have nothing to be afraid of. So as you go into this coming year, no matter what you face, no matter what you've got going on, is whenever you get home, trust in you can be encouraged with the fact that the Lord is your shepherd.